It's good to be back with you. Sharla and I are both recovering from the dreaded COVID. We're both on the mend and no longer contagious, but zero energy. So if I go to sleep during the sermon, somebody come up and prod me, or maybe we can just all go to sleep and have a nice nap. The other thing that I've been dealing with, in addition to having very little energy, the other thing that I've been dealing with is having trouble concentrating. I don't know if some of the rest of you have had COVID, have had trouble concentrating. So if my sermon is incoherent, some of you are laughing like maybe that's normal. But anyway, I will try. We are continuing our summer in the Psalms, and today Psalm 18, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a long psalm. I'm going to read Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6, and then 25 through 30. And I'm going to read the title of the psalm, which is a part of the inspired text. whenever there's an extended title in one of the psalms, that is part of the inspired text. And so we'll begin there, Psalm 18. Hear now the word of God. To the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." And now to verse 25. O Lord, with the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Psalm 18 is one of the great confessions of faith in God in the Bible. It's also, it's the text is in Psalm 18. It's also in 1 Samuel, very, very similar. When David shouted out to God his affirmation of faith, his word of praise, it's always easier to hold back in fear than to move forward in faith. Let me repeat that. It's always easier to hold back in fear rather than to move forward in faith. Easier, but never better. David knew a lot about fear. When David was a young man, the prophet Samuel anointed him to become king of Israel. He had a long wait. And in the meantime, even though Samuel anointed him to become king, there was one problem. Saul was king. And Saul had been rejected by God. Saul was filled with rage and jealousy toward David. Saul tried to kill David more than once. And this is what David is referring to in verse 4 when he says, "The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me." And then in verse 5, "The cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me." In the Old Testament, Sheol is the place of death. In the Old Testament, the people of the Old Testament had no concept of heaven and hell, but they did believe that life goes on after death. And you go to this place, this shadowy place called Sheol, the place of the dead. And when David says, "The cords of Sheol entangled me," what he's saying is it's as if he was threatened by death from King Saul, and it's as if ropes were entangling him and dragging him down into the grave. But David knew what to do. In verse 6, he says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." And this is why David could say at the beginning of Psalm 18, "I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge." In Psalm 18, David is demonstrating faith for us. When David uses the image that the Lord is his rock, the Lord is his fortress, he's saying that the Lord is his security. The Lord is his safe space. When he's afraid, he turns to the Lord in faith. Now, I don't know how much you've thought about this, but faith does not come naturally for us. The natural human being is in rebellion against God. The natural human being shuts God out. And so faith does not come naturally for you and me. And I don't think it came naturally for David either. What comes naturally for us in our rebellion against God is unbelief and self-reliance. That's what comes naturally for us. Unbelief and self-reliance. Fear is natural. Living on the basis of your own life experience is natural. If you doubt me on this, just remember what goes through your mind when you're lying awake at night and worried about something. Think of all the what-ifs that pass through your mind and how you're going to deal with this challenge all by yourself. That's what comes naturally to us, not faith in God. Envying the life of someone else and wondering why their life isn't your life, that comes naturally. Wishing that you had control over people and situations, that's what comes naturally to us. Manipulating your way into personal control so that you think you can get what you need, that comes naturally to us. Looking to other people for the peace that only God can give. In other words, looking horizontally in relationships rather than vertically. That comes naturally to us. Anxiously wishing for change. Anxiously wishing for change in things that you have no ability to control. That comes naturally. Allowing yourself to lapse into despondency and discouragement and depression and despair. That comes naturally. Numbing yourself with busyness, with material things, with media, with food, or a mind-altering substance, that comes naturally. Lowering your standards to deal with your disappointment, that comes naturally. But faith in God does not come naturally to us. Trust in God does not come naturally. Our natural default, once again, is self-reliance and shutting God out. Faith, when it comes to us, is a gift from God. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It is a gift. Ephesians 2:8 says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing. It is the gift of God." There is no more counterintuitive... Excuse me. There is no more counterintuitive function for the average sin-damaged human being than to have faith in God. Human beings will put all their faith in all kinds of things. but not in the God, not in the God we can't see, not in the God we can't hear, who makes promises so grand they seem impossible to keep. That's why, if we have even a thimble full of faith, it's a gift from God. It's because God put it there in our hearts. That's why David can say, I love you, O Lord, my strength. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. By his grace, God works in the everyday situations and relationships of our lives to craft us, hammer us, bend us, mold us into people of faith. David was far from perfect. He was a sinner. But the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart, because when he was in distress, he would turn to the Lord. Now, the next time you face the unexpected, a difficult trial that you don't want to go through, remember faith. God has not forgotten you. God is near to you, and if you open yourself to him, he will do in you a very good thing. He will rescue you from the trap of dealing with the situation on your own. He will rescue you from relying on your own limited wisdom, your own limited experience, your own righteousness, your own strength. God loves you, and God wants to be, as he was for David, your rock, your fortress, your stronghold. God wants to transform you by his Holy Spirit into a person shaped by radical, God-centered faith. Now, I know this is a problem for me, and I suspect for you too, that we're too easily satisfied. It's not that we want too much from God. The truth is that we most often are willing to settle for too little of God. The truth is that we're content with a little bit of change, a little bit of growth, a little bit of spiritual maturity. We settle for a little bit of biblical understanding and wisdom. We say we love our salvation and that we're thankful for God's grace, yet we're satisfied long before grace has finished its work in us. If our parenting and our grandparenting seem to be working, and if our marriages are livable, if our finances aren't a disaster, if we have a nice house and a good enough church, then most of us are satisfied. But brothers and sisters, God is not satisfied. Listen to David, verse 28. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. That's a military image. When David says, by my God I can run against a troop. He's talking about combat. David was a man of war. And when he says, by my God, I can run against a whole troop of soldiers, he means it. And when he says, by my God, I can leap over a wall, he's talking about leaping over a wall of a walled city to defend Israel. God is not satisfied with our reliance on 10% of him. David has a passion that's instilled by God, and he's not afraid. God knows that we will continue to need his transforming grace. We will continue to need his intervention until we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus. We will continue to need the forgiving, enabling, transforming power of his grace until every thought and every desire of our hearts is brought into line with his heart. We will continue to need his deliverance and protection from the cords of death so long as we are still susceptible to the whispers of temptation all around us in this fallen world. Even when we are not zealous for God, he is zealous for us. He will not relent until his grace has transformed us. And because God is not finished with us, you will find yourself in situations you do not like. God will arrange situations that you do not like and you do not enjoy. You'll find yourself having to deal with things you didn't plan. You'll find yourself dealing with trouble you never thought would enter your door. You'll face the unplanned, the unexpected, the unwanted. That's what David means in verse 26 when he says, "With the purified you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you make yourself tortuous." And we can all be crooked, can't we? We all take wrong turns in life. With the crooked, you make yourself tortuous. David is not talking about the punishment of God. He's talking about the mercy of God. With the crooked, you make yourself tortuous so that we can be straightened out. The reason you will find yourself in difficulty is because our faithful Lord will use hard and uncomfortable moments to wrench you out of your satisfaction and to cause you to treasure his redeeming mercy and to create heart and life change that will not be created in any other way. Certainly won't be created in an easy way. The Lord will pry open your hands and take away your crutches and your distractions. He will expose your weaknesses so that you'll cry out for what he knows you need. So, be thankful for all that God's grace has done in you. But be dissatisfied. Be grateful for all God's grace has done in you, but be dissatisfied. Don't quit before God's grace has completed its work in you. Cry out for more rescue, more transformation, more deliverance, and be grateful that your Savior continues to work even in those moments when you don't value that work that you so desperately need. And pray for the faith. Pray for the kind of faith that David had. By my God, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith of David. David was far from perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. Give us a heart like David, a heart that will turn to you and rely on you and be shaped by you, O God, until that day when we are in your presence. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.